steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus. For my life is wholly bound to His. Oh, how strange and divine I can sing, all is mine, yet not I, but through Christ in me. The night is dark, but I am not forsaken, for by my side the Savior He will stay. I labor on in weakness and rejoicing, for in my need His power is displayed. To this I hope, my Shepherd will defend me through the deepest valley He will lead. Oh, the night has been won, and I shall overcome, yet not I, but through Christ in me. No fate I dread, I know I am forgiven. The future sure, the price it has been paid. For Jesus bled and suffered for my pardon, and He was raised to overthrow the grave. To this I hold, my sin has been defeated. Jesus now and ever is my peace. And oh, the chains are released, I can sing, I am free, yet not I, but through Christ in me. With every breath I long to follow Jesus, for He has said that He will bring me home, and day by day I know He will renew me until I stand with joy before the throne. To this I hope,
thank you to Joanna for beautiful pieces and song. I love that last one. I've just recently come to know it, and it's an absolutely beautiful piece. And I wish I could play the guitar half as well as that as well. That was really good. I really enjoyed that. Thank you so much for those beautiful pieces. God bless you. Good evening. Good to see you all. Thank you for being here this evening. Thank you again for the invitation to be with you today. I certainly enjoyed the day with you. And thanks to a brother this evening and Brother Morris this morning for their kind words of welcome. It's been great to be back with you again. Trust that God would continue to bless us as we spend time in His Word this evening. Just before we come to God's Word, let's just bow again for a word of prayer as we come to God's Word. Heavenly Father, we again thank You for Thy Word. And we thank You, Father, that in it we find all the truth that we need, not just for this life, but for the life that is to come. For those of us that are saved, we can truly say, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself to me. And yet, Father, we can also say that he not only loved me, but he loved the world. For he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And Father, we thank and praise thee for a wonderful gospel and the opportunity to share it this evening. We pray that as we do, you would speak into hearts by your Holy Spirit. And Lord, that salvation would come to this place tonight. For we do ask it in our Saviour's name. Amen. Amen. Now we're turning in the book of Proverbs this evening, please. The book of Proverbs in chapter 8. Book of Proverbs and chapter 8. And I want to read just the last five verses of this chapter. Proverbs chapter 8. I want to begin at verse 32. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 32. The title for the message this evening is How the Lost Can Be Found. How the Lost Can Be Found. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 32. It says, Now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life and shall obtain favour of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. Amen. And we trust that God will bless his word to our hearts this evening. One of the favourite games of many kids, of course, is that well-known game that we all played, I'm sure, as children, and that many of the children still play, hide and seek. And it's one of those favourite games that just never seems to go out of fashion. And I'm sure you've heard the story of the skeleton that was found in an old wardrobe, and on the floor of the wardrobe there was a badge that said World Hide and Seek Champion 1922. I just love watching small children play hide and seek. Because they come maybe into the room and all the adults are sitting around. They'll come and they'll stick their head in behind a sofa. And just because they can't see anybody else, they think they can't be seen. And half of their body's out in the open. And the thing is, just because they can't see the seeker, that the seeker can't see them. But a lot of people today are just like that with God. They think that just because God can't see them, that God can't see them. And they're playing a deadly game of hide and seek with God. You see, the Bible tells us that we all come into this world lost in sin and far from God. But many, as I say, think that just because God is invisible to them, that he can't see them. And so somehow they think that they'll slip past them into heaven anyway, that nothing else really matters, that somehow they'll just be able to slip past God. And so they don't really bother too much with this gospel business. The Bible says in Proverbs 15 and verse 3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. There's no slipping past God unseen. There's no sneaking into heaven. There's no such thing as pretending that God can't see you or that he doesn't really care about whether you're not saved or not. And if you think like that, well, really, that's just not wise. Bible says again in Proverbs chapter 3 and 7, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It's not wise to think that we're just going to be able to slip by God someday. God has a standard, and his standard is absolute perfection. And unless we can meet that standard, we can never get into heaven. And here's the sad news, we can never reach that standard. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Not a single person in this building tonight can sneak into heaven. Not a single person in this building tonight or listening on the internet can say that they are perfect before God. Because the Bible tells us that all have sinned. In our reading tonight, I want to see three simple steps to make sure that the lost person gets found. I want to see in the first part of this reading, you've got to listen. You've got to listen. Verses 32 to 34. Now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me. Three times in those three verses, God says it's wise to hear him, to listen to him. God is speaking because this book is God's word. The Bible tells us itself that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. All scripture has been given by God. All scripture has been breathed out by God. It's God's word. And when we're reading the Bible, we're reading God's words. It's like listening to God speak. It's exactly like that. Because this is God's word. But we've got to listen. When we're preaching from the Bible, we're trying to help people understand God's word. Whenever Ezra was preaching to the children of Israel, when the temple was being built and he preached to the people, we're told that there were others who were preaching and explaining what was being taught to give the sense of the message, to give them understanding of the message. That's all we're seeking to do when we're preaching God's word. We're trying to help people understand God's word. Let me ask you tonight, are you listening when God speaks? Sam and Millie had been married for 45 years. And now Sam was a bit worried that Millie's hearing was starting to go. So he thought he'd give her a hearing test. One day she was sitting on the far side of the living room with her back to Sam. So Sam said quietly, "Millie, can you hear me?" And when she didn't seem to respond, he moved a couple of steps closer and said, "Millie, can you hear me?" There's still no response. So he moved forward another couple of steps. "Millie, can you hear me?" Absolutely nothing. Finally, he moved to stand right behind her. And he said, "Millie, can you hear me?" And Millie turned with a cross look on her face and said, "For the fourth time, I can hear you." Millie was speaking, but Sam wasn't listening. And folks, God is speaking tonight. But are you listening? Are you listening? The difficulty is that the person who is still lost in sin chooses not to hear. We men are sometimes accused of having selective hearing, aren't we? Let me tell you, some of the women can be fairly selective in their hearing as well. I'll not tell the story I was going to tell because I might get into trouble if I got home. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 13, "For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them." What was the Lord saying? He was saying that these people have chosen not to listen. These people have chosen not to see. They've chosen to ignore the gospel. They've chosen to reject the gospel. Folks, there is nobody in hell who doesn't choose to go there. Not one. And there's nobody in heaven who doesn't want to go there. You can sit in gospel meetings with a sluggish and unresponsive heart. You can sit in gospel meetings and you can close your ears to the Holy Spirit calling you to salvation. You can close your eyes and say that you can't see the truth. But if God is speaking to your heart, it's because you don't want to listen. It's because you don't want to see. And in the end, you remain in your sin because you refuse to listen and to believe. You may have heard the gospel many times before, how that sin had entered into the world whenever Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden. Because they're our final parents, because they're our ultimate parents, that sin has passed on to all of mankind. And there's not a single person that hasn't been born with sin, hasn't been conceived in sin, but except for God the Son, who entered into this world and had a body prepared for him by God. And he was placed in the womb of Mary. And he was born and he lived and he died a perfect life and a perfect death. And then praise God, he rose again from the death. And he ascended up into heaven. And today he's at the right hand of the Father on high. And he's waiting to listen for your cry of repentance and faith. But someday he's coming back. And he's coming back for all those who have heard the gospel message, and not only heard, but have listened to it and have opened their eyes to it through the help of the Holy Spirit, and who have accepted it and put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And every single one of them who are saved will be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, will instantly disappear. But if you're left behind, your opportunity will be gone because you've heard the gospel. And if you refuse to believe the gospel, you won't get a second chance. There's no second chances for those who have heard the gospel and rejected it. My dear friend, tonight I would plead with you tonight, listen to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Listen to this truth. You know that God says that the truth about himself is clearly seen all around us. We're told in Romans 1 and 20, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Folks, if you look at creation, you can see the fingerprint of God in creation. We believe that God is a triune God, but that he is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. One God, but three persons. And you might not be able to get your head around that, but we see it in creation. Man is body, soul, and spirit. Space is length, breadth, and height. Time is past, present, and future. States of matter is solid, liquid, and gas. We see God's fingerprint all around us. That's why we have no excuse. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. When we look up at the stars, we can see the majesty of God as in only six words in the Word of God. It says, and he made the stars also. It was so simple for God to make the stars. And we haven't even begun to explore them. They're so majestic. We can see God everywhere. And folks, if there is no excuse for those who see creation and refuse to acknowledge God, how much more guilty are those who have not only seen creation, but who have heard the gospel preached and still refused to listen to God. You've got to listen. But secondly, not only do you have to listen, you've got to seek. Look again at verse 34. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favour of the Lord. We had the privilege of going over to America for holidays this year, and it was a big one for us. We don't get to do that. And we got to go over to Washington. And in Washington this summer, we were resting out in the shade. It was 38 degrees. It was piping hot, and the sweat was dripping off us. And we're just drinking some ice-cold water beside the Ellipse, which is just south of the White House, when a police car suddenly sped out from the south drive of the White House across the road and blocked the road on the other side. And then a Secret Service agent moved over towards us, and he told everybody near us to back up and to move further back away from the drive. And there were other agents and other police officers who blocked other parts of the road and kept everyone on the sidewalks. And as we waited, we could hear sirens in the distance. And after a few minutes, there were about six or seven police motorbikes arrived in ones and twos, and they drove past security. And then two black SUVs arrived. And on the front of them, they had white flags with the seal of the president, four stars, one in each corner. Those were the flags of the vice president. Mike Pence arrived at the White House while we were standing waiting. But we knew that somebody was going to come. We just got a glimpse of him in the back seat. And it was quite exciting to see him there. But we just got a glimpse of him. But that's a picture of what we read in these verses. It's someone who's watching and waiting at the palace gates looking for a glimpse of the king. Whenever we were pushed back, we knew somebody was coming. We heard the sirens in the distance. We knew somebody important was about to arrive at the White House. And so we waited and we watched. We were expecting to see somebody. And here it says, blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. Here's somebody who's waiting and watching and looking to see the king arrive. You see, it's not just enough to listen to the message. You have to want to see the king. You have to want to find the truth. In Jeremiah 29 and 13 it says, ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. There are those who say that they tried salvation, they tried Christianity, and it didn't work for them. Let me tell you something, they were never saved. You don't try Christianity on for size to see if it fits. Because you're not searching with all of your heart. If you're not searching with all of your heart, you won't find Christ. And so many people in our province even say that they tried Christianity once and it never worked for them. They never tried it at all. And the Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. It means to take Him in and make Him part of who you are. It means to take Him, to surrender yourself to Him. That's what it is to be saved. We don't like talking about surrender. And there's certain parts of the community don't like the word surrender more than others. But folks, those who are without Christ hate the word surrender. But we have to surrender to God if we're ever going to be saved. We have to give ourselves fully over. And those who search for salvation in Christ will find it, because they'll find that the one they're searching for was already searching for them. Ezekiel 34:16 says, I will seek that which was lost and bring back again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which is broken, and will strengthen that which was sick. The Lord Himself said that the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. How serious are you about getting saved? Do you recognize that your sin will drag you and damn you to an eternity in the lake of fire? People don't like talking about hell or the lake of fire today. They say it's not cultured, it's not civilized to talk about such things. Folks, if I don't tell you about hell, if I don't tell you about the lake of fire, I'm not preaching the gospel. Because if you want the good news, you have to know the bad news. If you want to know why you need to be saved, you have to hear about the bad news. You have to hear about your sin. You have to hear about hell. And all those who die in their sins will end up in a Christless hell, in a place of torment. But the good news is you don't have to be there. You don't have to go there. Because God has done absolutely everything that needed to be done so that you don't have to go to hell. Everything. So let me ask you again, how serious are you about getting saved? How serious are you about finding the Lord Jesus Christ? How serious are you about putting your trust in Him? Folks, this is the easiest game of hide and seek you could ever take part in. Because both players should be looking for each other, if indeed you are looking for salvation. They that seek me shall find me, if they search for me with all their heart. Are you looking to find Jesus? Maybe you came into the meeting tonight out of habit. Maybe you came to keep someone happy. Maybe you even came to enjoy the atmosphere of it. Maybe you just like meetings like this. But you didn't come looking for the Savior. But as God has been speaking tonight, you've been listening. And now you know that you need to be saved, because God has been speaking to your heart. According to God's promise, if you seek God with all of your heart, you will find Him. Because He's already seeking you to save you. You've got to listen. You've got to seek. Thirdly and finally, you've got to decide. You've got to decide. Verse 35, for whoso findeth me findeth life and shall obtain favour of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. Dear friend, tonight God has promised you that if you seek with all of your heart, you'll find Him. But that means that finding God is so simple that anyone who doesn't find Him, but who remains in their sin, does so because they've chosen to. Tonight you're going to make a decision. If you choose to reject God and say, no, that's not for me, I'm not having it, that's an obvious choice, isn't it? If you go out of those doors tonight and say, not tonight, maybe some other time, you've chosen to reject Jesus Christ. Because he hasn't given you another time to be saved. He hasn't given you another gospel message. He hasn't promised that to you. He hasn't promised you tomorrow. He hasn't promised you that you will lay your head on your pillow tonight and fall into a pleasant sleep. Do you know the only time that he has promised you is right now? You don't know whether you'll take another breath. You don't know whether your heart will beat another beat. Here's another thing we don't like to talk about. We don't like to talk about death. You know, the Bible tells me that it's better to go to the house of mourning than to the house of joy. Why? Because at the house of mourning we realize how precarious our lives are. We realize how much we need God. I want you to look at the contrast between verses 35 and 36. Verse 35 starts with, "For whoso findeth me findeth life." Verse 36 starts, "But." So here's a contrast. "He that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death." God is saying, you can find me. You can find me. And when you find me, you find life. And you find my favor. But he says, if you don't find me, it's because you don't want to find me. And that means you're sinning against me. You know, it's a sin to know the truth of the gospel and to reject it. Rejecting the gospel is telling God either that you don't believe him or that you don't care about him. To not believe God is to call God a liar. That's blasphemy. To not care about God is to insult him as your creator. And to insult the sacrifice that Christ made on Calvary on your behalf, that's to insult him. And so now there's a choice to be made. Do you seek God and find him as he promised? Or do you reject him and continue in your sin? You might say, well, that's very black and white. You know, with God, it tends to be that way. God says, choose life or choose death. Simple. Choose heaven or choose hell. Choose forgiveness or choose condemnation. Simple choices. Do you know why? Because when we make the decision, we know exactly where we stand with God. These things are written that you may know that you have eternal life. I can stand up here tonight and I can tell you on the authority of God's word, I know I'm going to heaven tonight. How? Because in 1980, before I was 5 years old, I chose to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I didn't understand everything, but I understood that I was a sinner. I understood that Jesus was a Savior. And I understood I had to trust him. That's it. Isn't it simple? And on the basis of what Jesus has done in my life and on the basis of God's word, I know with absolute 100% certainty tonight that I have eternal life and I'm going to heaven. And so do so many in this building tonight, but maybe you don't know that. You can't say that tonight. If you choose life, you will find life. Whoso findeth me, findeth life. You'll be given life that's everlasting. Life that continues gloriously for all eternity. But you'll also gain the Lord's favor. He says, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. That just means his pleasure, his delight, or his acceptance. You gain the goodwill of God towards you. In Romans 8:28 it says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." It doesn't mean that life is going to be rosy. It doesn't mean that we're going to get health, wealth and happiness. Anybody who preaches that is preaching lies. But it does mean that someday we're going to get something far greater than even the worst that we could experience here. And the sufferings of this life aren't worthy to be compared with the glory that lies ahead of those that are his. God's goodwill gives you purpose. It gives you hope. It gives you an assurance that all will be well in the long run. That even persecution and even martyrdom can't take away the rewards that God has for those that are faithful. Rewards that don't just last for a lifetime, but last for eternity. But on the other hand, verse 36, if you choose to reject Christ, you're doing harm to yourself. Or as verse 36 puts it, you're wronging your own soul. The verse ends with a very graphic statement. It says, "All they that hate me love death." That's graphic, isn't it? You may say, "But I don't hate God. I just don't want to trust him yet." But do you remember that what Jesus said on one occasion? He said, "If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple." He obviously didn't mean that we're to detest and to despise our families. That's not what he meant. But he meant that our love for God ought to make all other loves seem like hate in comparison. Our love for God should be so much greater than our love for anyone else. And that's what this verse is saying. If you want to hold on to your sin, if you don't want to find God, then you love death more than you love God. In fact, your love for death is so intense that what little love you may have for God is as hate in comparison. Again, you may say that you don't love death, that loving death is a sick state of mind. The truth is that sin has distorted and polluted your soul so much that your sinful soul would rather accept hell than to surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. How many times have you heard the gospel? Dozens? Hundreds? Perhaps thousands of times. And every single time, even until tonight, every single time you rejected Christ. How much unseen, how much unconscious hate does there have to be in a heart to reject Christ hundreds or thousands of times? You read a verse this morning from God's Word. It said that God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God was willing to give the very best that heaven had to offer so that we could be saved. He was willing to send his only begotten Son into this world to die for his enemies so that his enemies could be delivered. And you're one of his enemies, just as I was one of his enemies. But Christ died for you. And all of those times that you've heard the gospel preached and you've been reminded how much God loves you and what Christ did for you in dying for you and rising again and offering you a full and free salvation, and every time so far you've rejected it, how much hate must there be in a heart to reject such love? I'm not talking about a conscious, reasoned out hatred. I'm talking about that natural, innate, unconscious, material hatred that's part of your soul's sinful nature.
by nature, we hate God. And that's why we need the Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts. That's why we need Him to speak so that we can listen. That's why we need Him to draw us so that we can seek Him. That's why we need Him to call us so that we can choose Him. Those who won't choose to find Christ hate God and love death, but you can choose differently tonight. You can choose to listen as God speaks. You can choose to seek Christ and find Him. You can choose to find life and favor from God and reject sin and death. But you need to decide. What will you decide tonight? This is in your hands. God has put it in your hands. And you need to decide. God pleads with you tonight. Hear instruction. And be wise. And refuse it not. Choose Christ tonight. Amen.